Welcome to The Challenge, where we'll discuss the challenges that life gives us. Challenges from the perspective of people with disabilities, and challenges from those who encounter a disabled person in any walk of life. And now your host, Steve Bauer.
This is show number 34. And the music that you're hearing in the background is from jazz keyboardist David Benoit. It's called First Day of School. And you'll see in a few minutes why that is so appropriate for this particular program. In fact, my guest had so much to say that she'll be with us this week and next as well. Welcome in, and my guest this week is Carrie Hooper. And Carrie was sort of recommended to me by a friend of mine, and she has graciously agreed to come on our show. Welcome to the show.
It's a pleasure to talk to you today.
And where are you actually located?
I am from Elmira, New York, which is located in upstate New York, and not too far from the state of Pennsylvania. Actually, we're in Chemung County.
Is this where you were born and raised, or are you a transplant?
No, I was born and raised right here.
Okay, so we know where we're starting from. What is your level of vision?
I have absolutely no vision at all. I am totally blind, have been like that since birth. I was an RLF baby, what they now call ROP.
I know, I can never get used to that new term.
But that hasn't stopped me from having a great life, and I have wonderful parents, and they were not overprotective, thank goodness. My mother especially, and my father too, they were both very sensible as far as how they brought me up. It wasn't going to be a case of, you know, here's this poor little blind kid. You know, I'm really, really thankful about that. You know, they would never have said, oh, somebody will always be there to take care of you. I mean, it was expected I would learn to be independent.
And what about school?
I went to public school. I was the first mainstreamed person in my district. So in my case, it worked beautifully because I had the right conditions. I had wonderful teachers. I learned Braille.
Oh, good for you.
I did. I'm a Braille freak. I love my Braille. Started learning it when I was 4. And fortunately, my school district had the funding to provide the Braille teachers and the necessary equipment and accommodations. I grew up before all the high-tech stuff came along, so I remember the old days. But I went to Riverside Elementary School, which wasn't far from home. And actually, I did learn how to walk home from school when I was in fifth grade, and I remember what an accomplishment that was. I'm a cane traveler, by the way, though I do have great respect for those who use guide dogs. I think they do wonderful work, but I prefer the cane. So that's what I do.
Okay. So you graduated from regular high school.
Regular high school. Now, I will say I didn't have what most people would call a normal social life, but I don't believe it really was because of the blindness. My mother and I have had talks about that before, and I actually think it was much more because I felt like I was much more mature than so many people my age, and I had trouble relating to people my age. I actually have always related better to older adults or teachers than I have my peers. But still, I had a great education, great teachers, and music's been always a big part of my life. I started piano lessons when I was 4. I do have perfect pitch, so that's, you know, mixed blessing. it's very helpful as far as learning music. I can read Braille music, though interestingly enough, for many, many years, I learned my piano music pretty much by ear. I learned the Suzuki method, which is very much based on learning by ear. You have tapes or records that you listen to. But I began learning Braille music in fifth grade and used it mainly for writing. Now, at first, I wasn't as into it and was a bit lazy with it. I would make up measures. And but when I realized I could use it to write down my compositions, I do some composing, it really motivated me to learn it, so I did. And actually, it was my friend Deborah Saylor who got me more into using Braille music to learn piano, because she does that. Debbie is a voice and piano teacher in Huntsville, Alabama, with whom I came in contact via ACB Radio, another program on there that I interviewed for called Blind Like Me. But she actually inspired me to use my Braille music more for piano, and so in the past few years I have. I never disliked Braille music, just I didn't use it as much when I was younger, but now I try to use it as much as I can. So, as I say, I'm a big Braille advocate. As far as schooling goes, I got mobility training all through school. I used a Perkins Brailler.
Oh, yes.
Yes, I still have one, by the way.
Me too.
I also use the VersaBraille. I don't know if you've ever seen one of those.
I've seen one.
Mm-hmm. And I used the one that had cassette tapes. And it worked for that time. It was extremely high-tech. It was one of those first high-tech devices that came out. And I used that from middle school all the way through high school. My school district bought it, and so I used it. And I also used, get this, folks, I used an electric typewriter.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, I learned to type on an electric typewriter. Actually, a manual typewriter. So I had an electric typewriter in my house. And we still have one of those, too. I don't know where it is, but we do. We've got all kinds of remnants of technology, new and old. So, and I still use audio cassettes.
You know, some people go, cassette, what is that?
Well, I still have some. I've got a tape recorder, and I still have vinyl records. I've got an old talking book machine.
Oh, my goodness.
Yep. And I've got CDs. I've got a CD player. So, as I say, I've got a bit of everything. But I don't believe that because means of communication or of playing records, just because they're old, doesn't make them worthless. I think they all have their purpose. And so that's the way I think. And so, as they say, Braille and other accommodations helped me all the way through school. And now, I had an aide who would help me with tests, reading things and typing things on the computer to be transferred into the VersaBraille. I had an Apple computer when I was in middle school and high school.
Okay.
I had the Echo 2 speech,
mm-hmm.
Which, of course, was, again, very high-tech for its time. And I used that all the way through middle school and high school. So I would say, education-wise, I had a great experience in school. Without my Braille skills, I could not have done it without the Braille and typing skills. So I graduated from high school. I should say that in school I always sang in chorus, and I played in the band. I played percussion instruments, marimba, xylophone, drums. I did all that. And I even, as I say, I did some composing. I wrote a piece for marimba, actually, called it Etude for Marimba, Running, Running, Running. And it does sound like running when you hear it. I also tried my hand at some piano pieces. But the first piece that I remember that I wrote was called You Are a Wimp. And at the time I wrote it, I did not know what a wimp was. I just thought it would sound good. So I wrote this piece when I was 8 years old called You Are a Wimp, That's What You Are. And I sang it to my piano teacher, and he still remembers that. So, but I've come a long way since then. And then I went through a phase where I composed music about television game shows that I liked. I watched a lot of those. I've always enjoyed certain television programs, and game shows, of course, are quite accessible because they often describe to you what they're doing. So I went through a phase where I wrote songs about those, but that didn't last too long. Now I write more serious stuff when I feel inspired. So So all through my schooling, music was a constant. Playing in the band, singing in choir. I sang in the concert choir in my high school, and even wrote a piece for them to perform at a Christmas concert when I was a senior in high school. It was called The First Christmas, and I played the piano, and I also scored it for flute and choir. And so the choir did perform this at the Christmas concert when I was a senior. And it was quite exciting. A bit overwhelming also, but quite exciting. Overwhelming in the sense that I got quite a strong reaction, and that had never happened before, where other people had performed a piece I'd written. What I did, I wrote the music in Braille, and then I dictated it to my sister, who knew music and could read it. She had played saxophone and piano, and she wrote it out in print so the choir could learn the song. And so that was quite an experience to have someone other than me perform something I wrote. So that was pretty neat. And then once I finished high school, I went to college. I went to Mansfield University, which is in Mansfield, Pennsylvania, about 40 minutes drive from Elmira. And there I got my bachelor's degree in voice, in vocal performance. I started actually taking voice lessons in high school, along with the piano lessons. And originally wanted to be a piano major, but then discovered opera and thought for a time I wanted to be a performer. And I just decided I liked doing singing more as my primary instrument. So I majored in voice, had a great experience, had wonderful professors who accommodated me. I had readers in school, and I learned the campus by means of a mobility instructor who showed me around the various things I needed. So I went there, graduated from Mansfield in 1997. And during this time in Mansfield, I discovered another interest. I began studying languages. In high school, I had taken French and did well, but I did not learn to speak it fluently. I didn't have anyone to practice with, and just did not go deeply into it. But I needed to take a language for my major, and so I chose German, thinking German might be helpful for singing. And from the first day of German class, I knew I wanted to teach German. It was a really strange experience, but I just had this feeling that I want to be a German teacher. Had never studied the language before, but just absolutely fell in love with it and was determined to learn it well. And what I would do, I would get names of people originally from Germany who lived in the States. I would just ask around if anyone knew anybody from Germany. And I would just call them up and I'd say, "Hello, I'm Carrie Hooper and I'm learning German. Could I speak German with you?" And most of them were great about that. And that's how I learned German. Besides using the textbook for our course, I would talk to people and just practice conversing. And my German teacher also gave me some extra tapes, and so it was pretty cool. So I became fluent in German in about 3 months.
Oh, my goodness.
But it took practice. It didn't just happen. It's because of practice. You've got to practice and work on anything you want to do well. You know, nobody just gave that to me. I mean, I had needed a lot of help, and because of all these great people who helped me, I was able to do it.
Wouldn't you have liked to have been a little fly on the wall after you hung up from talking to some of these people to talk German? They go, "Wow, some weird chick just called and wanted to talk German."
Right. They were wonderful. I met some lovely people. And I didn't stop with studying German. I went on to study Italian and Russian. And our school in Mansfield had an exchange program with Russia. So some Russian students would come every year, and then some of the professors would go to Russia. But what I did was I got, for Russian, I'm self-taught, the studying I've done. In fact, it's been a long time since I've done any work with Russian, so I've forgotten a lot, but I got books from RFB, on tape and taught myself some Russian.
I'm Steve Bauer, and you're listening to The Challenge. My guest this week is Carrie Hooper. Now, in the next few seconds, the computer kind of went funky. Carrie didn't start speaking faster, but the computer kind of made her for a couple of sentences. But our interview will continue now.
And tried to speak a little bit with some people. So that was interesting. And I learned Italian. That started because I was going to Europe with a college fire, and we were going to Italy. One of the countries we were going to was Italy. And I wanted to be able to speak some Italian. And so, again, I got books from RP, according to Line. And I got one book, actually, and started teaching myself Italian. And that's when I discovered, really, my love of languages. It all started with German, and it progressed from there. And I minored in German, actually. So then after I graduated from Mansfield University, I went on to graduate school at the University of Buffalo, in Buffalo, New York, and I majored in German, and I also got a master's from there in music, in voice, but I continued my piano study, and incidentally, at Mansfield, I had continued my piano lessons, even though I was a voice major. I've always kept up the piano, because I enjoy that too. So I got two master's degrees from the University of Buffalo. And during this time I continued my language study, I began to learn Swedish while going to the University of Buffalo because the conductor of the school orchestra was originally from Sweden. He also knew German. We used to converse in German. But then I thought it would be really neat to be able to talk to him in Swedish. So I got a book from Recording for the Blind in order to learn Swedish. And I taught myself Swedish, inspired by knowing this guy and from Sweden. And so I would talk to him in Swedish. And again, I would call people to practice my Swedish. And I did the same thing for Italian. Called people up that I found out about who were originally from Italy. And as far as Swedish goes, there's a club called Swedish Women's Education Association. And I joined that group when I was in Buffalo, and before I joined, I had gotten a list of members because I went to a meeting as a guest with someone I had met. And so I would call these people up to practice Swedish, and I also would read articles off the internet that were in Swedish. I would put them on a disc. Someone would help me put them on a disc, and then I would put them in my Braille and Speak. I had a Braille and Speak, by the way, in college. Once I got out of high school, I used a Braille and Speak 640. And I had a Braille embosser and a regular print printer. And so that was something I did to practice Swedish. I would read these news articles from Yahoo that were in Swedish, and I'd emboss them in Braille so I could read them. So, again, the languages became a really interesting part of my life. And also in Buffalo, I learned a bit of Finnish. I studied a bit of Finnish. I got a book from Sweden. Another thing I did, I got in contact with a library for the blind in Stockholm and borrowed books in Braille in Swedish so I could practice reading Swedish. And found out they had a book to learn Finnish, so I got that and learned a bit of Finnish. I've forgotten most of it. It's been a long time.
Now, wait a minute. You got a book in Swedish
Yes.
to learn Finnish.
Right.
Okay.
Yes, I know it's a bit strange, but I did it. Also, while going to school in Buffalo, I had an opportunity to go to Rome for one summer through the University of Stony Brook. They had a study abroad program, which was 4 weeks long, and I went on this program and took a couple of Italian courses. And during this time, this trip, I met the Pope, who at the time was John Paul II.
Oh, my goodness.
We got to go, our group got to go to an audience with the Pope, and I got to meet him, and he gave me a hug and a kiss, and I have two photographs to prove it.
You know, one of my dreams, and my wife says that I need to win the lottery to do this, but one of my dreams is to go to the Vatican and then rent a small cottage somewhere up in the mountains there in Italy and stay for a month.
Oh, wow.
But like I say, I think I'm going to have to win the lottery to do it.
Well, it could happen.
So
that was was my second trip to Europe, because the first time had been with the choir that I was in college. So that was quite an experience to go there, and I met some wonderful people on this trip to Rome. Then, after I graduated from the University of Buffalo, this was with my second master's. I was there a total of 4 years to get my two master's degrees. I graduated altogether with a second master's in 2001. I graduated with the German master's in 97, and then with the music master's in 2001. And then from 2001 to 2002, I was a Fulbright scholar in Sweden. I studied music for 1 year at the Royal University College of Music in Stockholm. And this came about because I had come in contact with a blind lady in Stockholm who was a student at this music school. And that happened because I did an interview on the shortwave station Radio Sweden. Now, Radio Sweden broadcasts all over the world, and they had a program called In Touch with Stockholm, which was broadcast in English. And this program afforded people the opportunity to ask questions about Sweden. And so I emailed them and asked if I could speak with a blind person. And so the station put me in touch with a lady named Ulrika Norelius, who is a native Swede and speaks wonderful English. And we did a telephone interview, which was recorded and broadcast on Radio Sweden.
Cool.
So that was fun. And Ulrika and I stayed in touch, and she told me that at the Royal University College of Music, or as they call it, the Royal Music School, Kungliga Musikhögskolan, in Stockholm, they had a guest student program. I had asked about this because I thought of perhaps going to Sweden. And so I inquired about the program, and I decided to apply for a Fulbright scholarship to help finance my study, and got the scholarship, got accepted, and had a wonderful year in Sweden. And in Sweden, I sang in a church choir, and took classes, all of them in Swedish. I took voice lessons. I took some courses on teaching voice. So I got this Fulbright scholarship, and I ended up going to Sweden for a year. And it was a wonderful experience. It was an absolutely wonderful experience. So I took all my classes in Swedish, and the purpose was to learn about Swedish music and culture, which indeed I did. And I learned some wonderful songs, and Swedish music is not well known outside of Sweden, and I think it should be, because they have some wonderful songs and wonderful music.
So did you get to meet the lady that you did the interview with?
Yes, I did, actually. Her friend performed at a function that I went to, and she and I also performed, not together, but we performed at a concert that was organized at the Swedish Library for the Blind in Stockholm. So yes, I did get to meet her, and she's very nice. I haven't been in touch with her for a while, but I still think about her and wonder how she's doing. So that was quite an adventure, and I could do a whole program on that, what I did in Sweden. I got to watch the Nobel Prize ceremony on television, because it was the 100th anniversary. So the Fulbright Commission, who oversees the Fulbright Scholarship, they organized activities for us who were studying there. And we got to go to Uppsala, which is a city in Sweden, go on a tour. We had a Thanksgiving dinner, which was very nice, because it was my first Thanksgiving I had ever been away from home. So that was very nice they did that. And I also got to participate in a St. Lucy festival. They have St. Lucy Day in Sweden on December 13th. And around that time, I got to be in a festival, and I got to wear it. It was a simple costume, as I remember, but they had a little parade, and we sang songs. And so it gets very dark in the winter in Sweden, and so this celebration is nice, represents light and all that kind of good stuff.
Well, you know, what we have managed to do is we have managed to basically fill up the first program, which means you're going to get the privilege to be on the second one.
All right.
If you have comments about the show, there's two ways to get in touch. Our email address is challenge8255@gmail.com. That's challenge8255@gmail.com. If you'd rather call our audio feedback line, it's available 24/7. In the U.S., it's 206-350-2757. That's 206-350-2757. So you can either email your comments or you can call your comments in either way. As we mentioned a moment ago, we will continue with our interview with Kerry Hooper next week here on The Challenge and continue talking about her career and her music. And in just a moment, we're going to let you hear a little bit of her music here on the show. I recall some, 20 plus years ago, actually about 23 years ago, I had the opportunity to teach for one semester as an adjunct professor at a local community college. At that time, this particular university had a very small mass media department. They ran a little FM radio station, which unfortunately they sold about a few months after I did that one semester of teaching. They decided to disband their mass media department and do other things. But I had the opportunity to teach for one semester, and it really opened my eyes to the fact that teaching is not easy. I thought it was a piece of cake, stand up there and just talk about stuff you know, but it really took a lot of work. So it gave me a new respect for people in the profession of teaching. I've not had the opportunity to do it again. Would I? Well, if the right opportunity came along, I probably would. And I mentioned I wanted to give you a chance to hear what Kerry sounds like in her singing, and we'll give you a little bit of her music as we go out this week, and we'll continue our chat next week with Kerry Hooper here on The Challenge. Have a great week. Thanks for listening.
Thanks for listening, and stay strong when encountering the challenges of life. Please join us next week at this same time for another edition of The Challenge from ACB Radio Mainstream.